Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD, and today we are joined by a very, very special guest, probably the biggest guest we've ever had, the queen of San Antonio sports media, Carolina Teague.
Good morning, or good afternoon, and, should I say. What do you think it is? I don't know what it is yet. I don't know. I consider this still morning.
I know at work, anything before noon, you still say good morning.
Okay. So okay.
We'll call it the morning still.
Perfect.
Before we dive into a very exciting show, we do have to acknowledge we're recording this with heavy hearts today. As everybody in the world knows, especially around the San Antonio area, Uvalde was hit with tragedy. I don't have to go into the details of it. Obviously, we all know that 18 beautiful children are gone as of now. I believe two teachers, if I'm not mistaken, but it's hard. I know we, Caroline and myself, even discussed whether we should even do this, but our thoughts and prayers are with the entire community. Both of us are our parents. We were talking about it before we started recording. I know it's tough to take your babies to school today, and we're thinking about Uvalde very much. And I know, especially with Carolina, you're such a big part of San Antonio sports media, so I'm sure you have fans and listeners in that area. So I think if we can provide just an hour of escape and just take their minds off it, or just, you know, let them know that we're with them. That's what we're hoping we do today. And if you want to say anything else.
I'm really devastated about the tragedy that occurred in Uvalde. And my heart has been really heavy the past 24 hours. I can't imagine just taking my child to school and them never returning home. And, you know, as far as the community is concerned, I do see a lot of people in the community that have been directly affected by this tragedy. There's people that lost their child that I follow. There's people that had their family members in the hospital over the situation. And it's something that's so close to home, and you never think it could happen so close within our community, but it did. And I'm just very, very devastated right now, and my thoughts and prayers go out to all the victims affected by the Uvalde tragedy. And all we can do is just, and me personally, just wish, you know, that there's some type of, you know, consoling or some type of light that they see at the end of the tunnel. I don't see how they could see it right now, but my thoughts and prayers are definitely out to the victims of this tragedy and the people affected by it worldwide.
Yes, and if you do want to help, I would say donate blood, especially locally, because again, this is a local tragedy. So your blood donation will be very, very appreciated and would definitely help the victims that are, you know, that are still in the hospital. I know University Hospital has some of the victims. So if you want to go directly to the hospital, I know if you go onto their University Hospital website, you can book an appointment to give blood. I know there's been a long line to do so, which is, you know, good news. But if you're feeling helpless, that's something, if you're in the San Antonio area, that's something you could do right away.
Yeah, and also too, you know, since we do talk about sports, Steve Kerr, you know, did make a very strong statement about how he feels about this tragedy. So it didn't just affect us locally; it affected people across the country, and you know, everybody. If you have a heart, you are affected by this tragedy. Even LeBron James had something to say. So it's just something that affected us as a nation, and anything that anybody needs help from, you know, will definitely be, you know, of course you will be able to help out as well, but I'll be able to help out too. So anything that anybody needs, just let us know.
Exactly. And I guess we'll try to segue as best we can, but I do want to ask you a question. Jeff Garcia from Ken's Five asked me this privately. Do you think they should have played the game last night between the Warriors and Mavs?
Do I think they should have played? I mean, I feel like the country has become so desensitized to mass shootings and killings that anything is business as normal. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that the games did go on because, you know, unfortunately, some people just don't want to hear about politics. They don't want to hear about news. They just want to watch sports. And that's understandable because they want to keep a box where, or they want to stay within a box where they don't have to deal with the emotions that go with these tragedies. So I can see why these organizations move forward with these games because of that reason. Now, it would be great if, you know, maybe one of the organizations does something in regards to the victims of this tragedy, maybe if they acknowledge them or something, that would be a great tribute to them. But it doesn't surprise me that they did move forward with the playoff game. It just kind of shows how desensitized our country is to these types of events. I mean, there's crazy people everywhere every day. And it just, like I said, shows how, you know, some people don't want to talk about politics or religion or things like that. They just want to keep it sports. So I can see why they move forward with that. But, you know, like I said, in the presser, Steve Kerr definitely addressed it. LeBron James definitely addressed it. So just because everything's moving forward, business as usual, doesn't mean that the people who are part of these organizations aren't affected directly by these tragedies.
Very much so. And you could tell, I mean, Steve Kerr, if you haven't seen that audio or the, you know, the press conference he did before the game, go out and do so. I know it's all over Twitter or all over social media, but if you don't have social media, I'm sure YouTube, you can find it very easily. So you said everyone's affected, and Steve Kerr definitely was. And I guess I hadn't thought about whether the game should go on or not until Steve Kerr showed so much emotion. And then, of course, like I said, Jeff asked me just flat out. And then the game was in Dallas, Texas. So, it was a question that I didn't see coming, but once it was asked to me, I did ponder it. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the game, though, the actual game, the Mavs staved off elimination. Mm-hmm. I know you're big into the playoffs. Do the Mavs have any hope of adding another game to the series, or do you think it's over in San Francisco?
Do they have an opportunity to add one more game to the series? Absolutely. You can never say never, especially when it comes to somebody who has as big of a heart as Luka Doncic and wants to keep this fight going. And seems to be the team for the Mavericks seems to be basically centered around him, period. And I feel like it's already been established that moving forward, the Dallas Mavericks need to put better pieces around him, because to me, it seems like they've came to a stopping point. I don't think they're going to move past this round against the Warriors. The Warriors are by far a superior squad in regards to having playoff experience, having playoff just intelligence, and of course having the talent on their roster. And I think their bench is a whole lot deeper as well. So obviously I think the Warriors are going to just get rid of the Mavs. They're going to be out. Mavs probably not going to go past this, but they could win one more game, but I don't see them winning this series at all. And that's just basically, that is solely based off of talent, playoff experience, and the fact that the Mavericks seems to be centered around Luka Doncic. I mean, you would think Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench would be a little bit of help, or even Finney Smith, who had 23 points last night, would be good. But I don't think that the Mavs are going to make it pass at all.
Now, how aggressive do you think Mark Cuban will be this offseason trying to get Luka some help? Because you said it. I mean, he's definitely the star of the team, but he's also arguably one of the top three or four players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Mark Cuban is known as a very aggressive owner. Mm-hmm. He can now see a championship within his sights with Luka. But how aggressive do you think he'll be in trying to attain help, like serious help?
I think he's going to be very aggressive, but in order for him to be aggressive, they're going to have to free up some cap space. They're in the negative right now with practical cap space. Right now, they're about negative $48 million, and their active roster cap is about $151 million. Mark Cuban has always been known to be an aggressive owner. However, does aggressive equal the smartest owner? Not necessarily. everybody was... he was hell-bent on Porzingis for a very long time. That really frustrated the media that covered the Dallas Mavericks for years and that covered people who follow the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban tends to pick favorites with the players that he picks, whether people see whether he sees the light at the end of the tunnel or not. People can tell him all day long, Porzingis wasn't that guy, but he was hell-bent on keeping him on the team, and he did nothing for that team. So whether or not he can free up cap space and bring that talent there, I think that's a possibility, but I don't know if Mark Cuban can put the right pieces around him in the long run. That's my opinion on that.
So I could see a scenario, especially based off what you said, where he does do something drastic because he's this close to the finals, right? And in his mind, he'll think, if I can just get another star here, it's going to be money.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, it could end up being the wrong move or the wrong star.
Maybe it could be like
a Russell Westbrook or, you know, something that just doesn't work.
And also, too, just perfect example, Russell Westbrook, and I'm not blaming Russell Westbrook or not, but, you know, do you have people around you that are going to have great chemistry to take you to that next level? And that's a risk that every owner has to take. And Mark Cuban, with his track record, shows that he might not be able to build that team to put around Luka to become a championship caliber team. And I don't think that Luka is a bad player by any means. I think he's actually one of my favorite players in the league. He just needs better pieces around him. I mean, Luka by himself can take it all the way this far. And I think Spencer Dinwiddie's done a great job too, by the way, throughout the duration of the playoff season. But I think he definitely needs more help.
Okay. And I think that's something to watch for because, you know, here in San Antonio, and we'll get to it in a minute after we talk about the playoffs, but the Spurs want to be major players in acquiring talent this offseason. And again, we'll talk about it after we get through this playoff talk, but Mark Cuban might end up getting in the way of that or might be a potential bidder going for the same pieces possibly that the Spurs are. So that is something to think about because he will be very aggressive in trying to get Luka help and getting across the finish line. But on the other side, we have a great series so far, the Heat and the Celtics. They play tonight as we record this. The game's, you know, game five's tonight. What are your thoughts on that series so far? And who do you think ends up taking it?
This one is really tough for me. And I had said this from the beginning. I don't think I could possibly predict who is going to win. And when I was on the air with Mike, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be Mrs. Opposite Opinion. Because at first I was like, Celtics got to win this thing. Because to me, I like the way that their bench is. I like the fact that they are an aggressive team. And that was, I don't know, to me, like, I feel like they're just more strong. They're stronger defensively. Marcus Smart is defensive player of the year. They have a great defense. And you have Derek White, who, whether you agree with him or not, when it comes to an offensive perspective, he provides a great defense as well. I mean, we've seen it ourselves. He's able to draw charges and just do a great job when it comes to defense and being able to put the clamps on any other team that they're up against. But the Heat also have a great defense as well. And the Heat also have a great bench. And they were also the top team in the East to beat. So for me, this has been the hardest for me to predict. And what doesn't make it easier for me is that while we're talking about this, that they're currently both 2-2 right now. So that makes it even harder. Like, my mind is in the air right now. But me personally, I'm just going to put my fan hat on. And I really love Jimmy Butler as a player. I think that he needs to... I think he needs to be able to kiss the finals just one time. So I really want him to make it to the top. So I'm going to go ahead and go for the Heat. And also, too, Tyler Hero as well. I mean, him being a missing piece of the puzzle, too, might screw them over. I don't know when he's expected to be back. I don't know if he's going to be back tonight. But if he's back tonight, Tyler Hero's back in. Give me the Heat and Celtics. If not, then give me the Celtics. That's where I'm at right now.
How you mentioned Jimmy Butler, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but how underrated is Jimmy Butler? I mean, he's quietly led his team to the finals, and I don't think he doesn't get nearly the publicity that a Luka does, or even Jason Tatum this offseason or postseason. But Jimmy Butler, like you said, he's led the charge with the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and quite possibly the best team in the NBA.
I think he's very he's an extremely underrated player, because every time he's under pressure, he has been steady with his game, period. And him being steady, him being consistent, and the Miami Heat have said it's given them a lot of confidence as a team to move forward, because he's a leader. So he's probably one of, in my opinion, one of the most underrated players. I mean, everybody knows he's dope, right? But as far as the recognition that he gets in the media, people talking about him, there's been rumors about how he's been difficult to he's been difficult to work with. But that doesn't take away the fact that when it comes time to perform, he always shows up. I've never seen a game where, well, actually, with the exception of the last game, I've never seen really games where he falls off completely. So I think he's definitely underrated, and people really undermine that term leadership, and he's a great leader as well. So I think one of the main reasons why he's underrated is not only because of his game, but because of his leadership quality skills that nobody ever really talks about.
Yeah, and I think to your point too, he had a reputation of being difficult. This is his third team, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I think when people see a player like that, they don't think superstar or someone that could be a leader, but he's literally led his team to the best record, to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he could quite possibly, I mean, it's very realistic to say that he leads his team to an NBA championship. And to your point, his points per game average is almost identical in this series, you know, which is clutch time, right? To what it was in the regular season. So it's not like he's faltering under pressure. He's still, like you called him, a steady leader who's kept it up even in the most crucial moments.
Yeah, and you know, and people say he's difficult to work with. I mean, but when you expect greatness out of people, I mean, look at The Last Dance. When we were watching the Michael Jordan docuseries, I'm not sure if you saw it or not.
Yes.
But he's considered the GOAT, but he was one of the hardest people to work with. He was an asshole. I don't know if I could curse.
No, you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But he was considered a butthead. Everybody was saying he was hard and difficult to work with. Well, sometimes when people expect greatness out of you, you might be difficult to work with, because
exactly.
They expect greatness out of you. They don't want you to be soft. They don't want you to be lazy. They don't want you to be not focused on your diet. They don't want you to not show up to practice. They want you to be on your A game, because the end of the goal for the team is to try to win a championship. So if you're a leader on the team, like a Michael Jordan or a Jimmy Butler, and you see one of these players not pulling their weight, of course you're going to be a jerk about it. You expect greatness out of your teammates, and not everybody necessarily responds well to that type of criticism or that type of work ethic. But look at the results that it produces. Like Michael Jordan, you're a butthead, but you got 6 rings. Kobe Bryant wasn't necessarily the easiest to work with either. Him and Shaq had his issues. You got 5 rings. Jimmy Butler, not there yet, but I feel like when you are a leader like that, look at them now though. Like him being on the Heat, they've consistently been in the playoffs because he's been a leader amongst men, and him holding his teammates accountable and being that person behind the scenes is the reason why they're where they're at, period.
I agree. And to bring it on home, I mean, Greg Popovich is known as a tough coach, right? Maybe like you put it, a butthead at times. But yeah. It produces results. And as you were talking, I thought about something and I wanted to get your opinion. Does LeBron have that gene in him? We'll call it the butthead gene. We'll call it the butthead gene, because that's a funny word. In your opinion, I mean, he's won plenty, so he doesn't have to prove anything to us, but do you see him as the same kind of butthead as Jordan or Kobe?
I've never heard stories about him being as like hard as a Jimmy Butler or hard as a LeBron, but I think his leadership style is different. Everybody leads differently, and people say LeBron makes everybody around him better. He takes care of other people, and he helps people evolve their game. So I've never really heard that he's that hard like a Greg Popovich, like that hard heart where you're always trying to be that hard person. But I don't think that he's not a leader. I think he's definitely a leader.
Okay.
Because people have said so multiple times.
Now, we're using the term butthead in a very positive manner, you know, basically as a winner. Is there a butthead?
For sure.
Is there a butthead on the Spurs?
Oh man. I wouldn't say like a butthead for the Spurs, because there haven't been reports of any players being difficult or any of their leaders being difficult to be around. But if I do say that there is a leader for the Spurs, I would definitely say it would be DeJounte Murray, because he just has those leadership qualities, and it's been reported that he's probably the leader in the locker room. And I also think a future leader for the Spurs is Joshua Primo, because he exhibited leadership qualities this season when he was taking mentorship with DeJounte Murray on the sidelines. So if I see a leader right now amongst men on the Spurs locker room, it would definitely be DeJounte Murray. I think Pop is first, then it's DeJounte Murray. And then if I had to predict a future leader, it'd be Josh Primo. And okay, that's way in the future. But yeah, I see it there.
Okay, good to know, good to know. Now, speaking of the future and the Spurs, they're rolling into this offseason with 3 first-round picks and a ton of cap space. As someone who follows the Spurs and just someone who loves the sport, what would you want them to do? If you know, Carolina's the GM.
Oh, great. I put my face.
Yeah,
my Twitter GM cap on.
There you go. I'm giving you three first round picks.
Okay.
And you have a ton of cap space to do whatever you want within free agency. What's Carolina doing this offseason?
See, I'm not a good GM. So this is, first of all, you probably fire me. But if I had a pick, I'd probably get fired. Probably be maybe worse reputation than Mark Cuban. But if I had to definitely pick something, I definitely think that they need some power forward position. That's something that people have been, you know, talking about lately. They I think they need some front court help. I think people really underestimate Jakob Poeltl and what he's done this past season. I mean, when he first started with the San Antonio Spurs, he was averaging around 8-ish points with the Toronto Raptors. But as we've gone further into the season, you've seen him further into his seasons with the Spurs, he's became more of an aggressive person in the front court. So I say they definitely need some front court help, definitely power forward position and center position as well. They need more depth in that area. And as far as the draft is concerned, I wouldn't move up in the draft. That's just me personally.
You wouldn't?
Unless you're going to be unless it is guaranteed that you're going to get Paolo Banchero, which I really think that the Spurs would want. And the Houston Rockets organization did say that they are willing to give up their pick. So maybe they could trade up with the Houston Rockets. I'm not sure. I don't think that they would because they're in the Western Conference. But if that does happen, then they should. I like the fact that the Spurs, to me, have been able to draft really well, and their track record throughout the past 2 decades has been a great track record. And maybe I sound like a dinosaur when I say this, but I think that they have the ability to draft at any position and create greatness. So whether they stay at number 9 or whether they move up, to me, it's not that big of a deal. But I do think they shouldn't draft for best available, which is kind of a debate that I always have with people. Should they draft for best available or best need? I think they should draft for what they need, which is center and power forward and, you know, just help with that front court. I think that would be great.
Okay. So you mentioned trading up. Mm-hmm. If, as you're, you know, keep your GM cap on for a sec, you're talking to the Rockets on the phone. And they want, you know, they want plenty of picks and they want some players. Which players, if any, are off limits in this trade?
DeJounte Murray's off limits, which is going to be hard. Like, people are going to want your best players.
Yeah.
DeJounte, because if you have to do a package, like me and Jimenez are also talking about this, maybe you'd have to give up a DeJounte Murray and a Devin Vassell. I mean, those people, like, to me, the off-limit people is DeJounte Murray and Devin Vassell. There's somebody else on my mind that I can't think of right
now. Keldon?
I wouldn't say no.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, well, I'm not saying that he is untradeable, but I could see because he's a great player. When he's consistent, he's hot. He's one of the best 3-point shooters in the league right now. I don't consider him untradeable because of the fact that any team is going to want a good player.
Yeah,
and Keldon is a good player. But if I had to pick between DeJounte Murray, who's the leader of the team, and putting up Michael Jordan triple-double numbers, right? And
Then
you have somebody like Keldon Johnson, who puts up numbers from the three-point line, is a great three-point shooter, but has had his inconsistencies throughout the season. If I had to pick between those two, I would have to pick Keldon. And it's not a knock to his game. It's just simply what the Spurs want to keep their star player, which is DeJounte Murray. I definitely think he's untradeable. That's probably the only one where I'm like, I know they're not going to get rid of him.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to throw some names at you. So I'm going to get your opinion. There's two big-time free agents. The Spurs could, if they wanted to, they could max out at least one of them. DeAndre Ayton and Zach LaVine. Back to not your fandom, your GM hat. Which one would you call first for the possible max contract offer? You did say Ayton would fill a need front court, although you do like Jakob. And then there's LaVine, who's a bona fide all star. So, which one are you calling?
Definitely go with.
I'm sorry, you can go.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, which one would the Spurs are probably going to contact both. But which one do you make priority number one? Which one is your first prom date? The girl you ask first, the guy you ask first.
This one's really hard for me. See, this is why I don't want to be a GM. but I would pick DeAndre Ayton.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because I just like his numbers better. And to me, he's part of it. He's with the Suns right now, right?
Yes.
And to me, playoff experience is very, very important. Now, would the Suns give him up? I don't know if they would give him up because he wants a maximum salary contract. Maybe the Suns are going to offer that to him. I haven't looked at their cap space yet, and I don't know if there's a possibility that they will. But I would pick him because he has the playoff experience. He was with the Suns under a great coach, Monty Williams, and he's averaging about 17 points a game, 10 rebounds, and about 2 assists. Like, to me, those are great numbers per game.
Okay.
And the Spurs need somebody who's going to put up numbers like that consistently as a center. For sure. So I would pick DeAndre Ayton.
Now, you mentioned
Zach LaVine.
Uh-huh.
Hold on, wait. But Zach LaVine, the Spurs already want him. You know, DeJounte made it very clear by his tampering, by putting the picture of Zach LaVine in the Spurs jersey, that he's had it. But Zach LaVine has had his issues. He had his knee surgery recently, and although it was successful, do you want to take on somebody who has injury issues like that? If you're going to offer somebody a big contract, is that something that you're going to look forward to? I would say no, even though he puts up better numbers than DeAndre Ayton. To me personally, I think the center need and the front court need is a whole lot better. I mean, having someone as shooting guard is great, but I feel like, you know, the Spurs do have shooters, not as great as the rest of the NBA, but to me, front court protection is way more important.
Okay. You mentioned Ayton's great coach, Monty Williams. Now, Monty's been a little critical of Ayton, which is a plus and a minus if you're a Spurs fan. It's a plus because that means Phoenix might not match his max offer if the Spurs were to offer that. But it's a minus because, like you said, if he's a good coach, but he doesn't have a high opinion of Aiden, does that turn you off a bit to him?
It would turn me off if I want to offer somebody a max contract. That's because Monty Williams said that he really lacks focus. And in order to combat that with my little random GM hat on, I would probably have to have a conversation with him about his focus.
Okay.
And see, and listen to him and see what he has to say. It wouldn't really be like the, it wouldn't be, what is it called? The deal breaker for me, for sure.
Okay.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker at all. I'd probably have to have a conversation. And it might bring down the amount that we offer.
That's true.
I'm not a GM, so yeah.
But it's also the reason why you might even have a shot at him. You know what I mean? Because it might have brought down the Suns' offer.
Definitely. Absolutely. That's actually a plus for the Spurs.
Yeah. So it's kind of a give and take. Mm-hmm. I guess either way, if the Spurs offer either a max contract, there is a level of gambling that you're doing. But again, if the gamble wasn't there, you realistically wouldn't have a shot at either one.
There's and at the end of the day, there's a gamble with everybody, every player.
Yeah.
You sign somebody to a max contract and they tear their ACL, I mean, you could be screwed. So, I mean, you have to just assess the risk and make the best decision. But I feel like if I was San Antonio Spurs, I'm going to go for Ayton first over Zach LaVine, even though I love Zach LaVine.
All right. So we got your opinion on the Spurs. I also wanted to talk to you because you do love Zach LaVine. We did mention the Rockets a little earlier.
Uh-huh.
You've had you're a very respected member of sports media here in town. But you've had a rough few weeks on social media.
Yeah, I have. I did delete my app a few times.
I've always been a big fan of yours. I don't think you did anything wrong per se, but I do want to run down the roller coaster few weeks that has been Carolina Teague. And we'll start with the Rockets jersey. You were doing media in Houston.
Mm-hmm. I was doing radio in Houston.
Yeah.
Which was actually a really big deal.
Very much
so. Dream come true for me. Houston's one of the top 5 radio markets in the country. Somebody said top 4. I don't know. But to just be honored to bless the microphone in a top 5 market was an incredible experience. So I was just very, very excited.
Okay, so for our listeners that don't have a Twitter or that, you know, they don't follow the drama that is Spurs Twitter at times, explain how you promoted yourself to be going on Houston Radio and then the aftermath of this promotion.
So, I mean, the short story is I wore a Rockets jersey to promote that I was going to be on air, and I got flamed by Spurs Twitter. They cooked me like I was a rotisserie chicken over an open fire. And, you know, it was really shocking to me. Like, I had no clue that this was going to happen. And I believe that I'm going to show, and this is the longer part of it. My mom, she always tells me that I can be a little bit naive. And this has been the story of my life. That's how I became a teen mom, because I was naive. I thought about love. Like, you know what I mean? I thought it was in love.
Yeah,
I had a baby, right? I thought it was going to be easy, like holding a Cabbage Patch doll and all these things. So, I mean, I came into I came in with a good heart, right? I wanted to wear a jersey for Houston that represented the city of Houston, and I did it with like good intentions. I just wanted to show love. I listened to a lot of Slim Thug, and Slim Thug says, respect our city or take your hate and ass up out of this town. So I'm not going to go up there, you know, trying to stir the pot, you know, wearing something that they hate. I wanted to wear, originally I was going to wear a Texans jersey because Coach Lovie Smith is a former Bears coach, and I'm a Bears fan. So I was like, okay, I might, you know, wear this and say, you know, congratulations to Lovie Smith, because I don't think he should have been fired as the Chicago Bulls Bears coach, by the way. I think that was a terrible decision made by the front organization. They went 10-6, and they still fired him. And then they hired Mark Trestman afterwards, and then it was a huge ordeal, and everything went downhill from there. So my original thing was I was going to wear a Houston Texans jersey. I had brought my blue and red sneakers with me, my blue, red, and white sneakers, because the Houston Texans sneakers, I mean, Houston Texans colors are blue and red, right?
Yeah.
So I went all over the Lids towns in San Antonio. I couldn't find like an Oilers jersey. I couldn't find a Texans jersey. I kept asking, I went to the Lids at North Star. Go there yourselves. There's no women's Texans jersey, right? Then I go, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to drive to Houston early and I'm going to get me a Texans jersey. So I got in my car, went to Katy Mills, which is between San Antonio and Houston, and got off, went to a store named, it's called Fans. Go there yourselves. They don't have Texans jerseys. It was getting close to airtime and I had no shirt to wear. I didn't know what to do. So right there in the women's section, there was a women's Hakeem Olajuwon jersey. There was also a Jalen Green jersey too, but I wouldn't dare wear a Jalen Green jersey because I can't show support for the current Houston Rockets team because I cover the Spurs. So I grabbed the Hakeem Olajuwon jersey. It matched my shoes, which was, this whole thing was all about fashion too, by the way. Yeah. I wanted to match my shoes, put the jersey on, and did it to show love to the city of Houston. Houston loved it. They thought it was great. I didn't think it was a huge deal. I never considered the fact that San Antonio would be upset about me doing this because I thought San Antonio had a true rivalry with the Los Angeles Lakers and not necessarily the Houston Rockets. So I was a little bit naive about the situation. I got cooked all over Twitter. It's all good. Things happen. But so, I can take it like a champ.
So you did consider Spurs fandom to a degree, right? Because you said you wouldn't wear a Jalen Green jersey.
Absolutely. I thought, okay.
But you didn't think it would carry over.
Now, mind you, DeJounte Murray has an autographed Jalen Green jersey, and he posted it on Instagram. And I'm not saying that he deserved to get cooked or not. But, I mean, if I wanted to buy a Jalen Green jersey, I could, because DeJounte Murray said it was okay because he has one himself.
Yeah, I think players swap jerseys all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, apparently I can too, right? So I put on the Hakeem Olajuwon jersey and the rest is history.
Did you ever consider Astros? Because a lot of San Antonio sports fans here are Astros fans.
I did.
That would have been a good compromise.
I did, but we were covering the NFL draft. So I was talking to my family and they were like, you're covering the NFL draft, wear an NFL jersey. So I was like, okay. So I had brought, the only shoes I brought were my blue and red shoes. And unfortunately, I guess the Texans suck so bad, they don't have no damn Texans jerseys out there.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I wanted to wear an Astros jersey originally, but we were covering the NFL draft.
Okay.
So that's why. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. All right. I know you got roasted. I guess the first thing I said was, you're two things. You're a media member. You're not necessarily a diehard fan. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of people in sports media that don't cheer for the team that they cover.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, you know, a good friend of both of ours, Ari Temkin.
Uh-huh.
I still keep in touch with him, and he currently covers the Dallas Cowboys. He's on Dallas Cowboys radio. But as you know, probably more than me, he's a Bears fan. He's a Bears fan. But he is the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Another thing is he's a Kansas graduate. Uh-huh. And every time Texas and Kansas play in sports, I get a tweet from him. The funny thing is, though, Ari Temkin works for Orange Bloods, which is it's a fan site, basically, for Texas Longhorn fans. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example of, just because you covered the Spurs doesn't make you a fan. I mean, James Pledger, he's actually a Rockets fan.
He loved it. He loved my jersey.
Yeah, but he's never caught any of the flack that you did, even though he's a literal Rockets fan.
You know, a secret is I've seen a lot of people in media that cover the Spurs. I've seen them wear Lakers jerseys. I'm not going to call them out. Nobody bat an eyelash. But my thing is this. I feel like if I wanted to be a true media person, right, and I had a degree in journalism, which I don't, my degree is in business management, right, and you live and you learn. In journalism, you're not supposed to be you're supposed to be impartial, right? And
yes,
you're not supposed to wear
yes.
a jersey, period. So, but I saw people do it all the time in media. So I was, and that's how women, really, honestly, women, a lot of women in this industry promote themselves. If they go to a different city, they'll wear that jersey for that city and say, oh, I'm here. And nobody makes a big deal about it. But for me, you know, they made a big deal about it. And that's okay. I understand people's traumas. You know, now I've heard so many stories about traumas. People have their wives cheated on them. Their girlfriends cheated on them. They had their hats thrown off a roller coaster. You know, I didn't know that the jersey could bring up so much trauma for people. But to those people, I apologize too. But it was just me being naive and trying to show love. It was not. And I think what bothered me the most was that people thought I did it to make people upset. I don't wake up in the morning trying to make people mad.
I think that's the funniest part. People thought you were trolling Spurs Twitter.
I am not a troll.
You're not at all.
I am not a troll. Hell no. That is the last thing I want to be. I do not want to be a troll. Now, if I was a true troll, I would have told them, you know what? Screw yourselves. I'm wearing this jersey. And I would have worn it twice. But I'm not a true troll. I wasn't trolling. I was just doing it to be kind, and it backfired.
Now, that was a funny controversy for you.
That was funny. Yeah, it was fun.
And I was on your side because, again, not everybody in the media has to be a fan. And it was a simple, you know, it was a simple gesture. It was a simple gesture.
Yeah.
Now, your next controversy, I was definitely against you. 100%. You said that Eminem was trash and that you can't bump Eminem in your car.
I can't. We're gonna part like the Red Sea, my friend, because I personally, you know, I know Eminem is a great artist. One of my first concerts I ever went to was Eminem versus 50 Cent. My cousin was obsessed with Eminem. Her name is Elaine. And she had, like, growing up, she had the letter E in her room for, like, the monogram in her name. And when she started becoming a fan of Eminem, she turned it around and all the E's were backwards in her room because she thought she was Eminem's biggest fan. And she had all the Eminem posters. So she begged me to go to this concert with her back in the day. I was a young teenager and went to the Eminem 50 Cent concert. I went because of 50 Cent and she went because of Eminem.
Okay.
I love 50 Cent. I love Aftermath Records. Dr. Dre, love him. 50 Cent, love him. I even like Eminem songs. I like cleaning out my closet and all that stuff. But I feel like those songs make me sad. They make me depressed. So every time I cannot listen to a whole Eminem album because it makes me sad. Like, I get it. He's going through some stuff and he went through a lot of hell and people can relate to that on a personal level. But for me, if I'm in my car, I don't think I've ever been in my car and I've never said to anybody, yo, can you put on that Eminem real quick? I've never said that. I've never said it.
So
I can't do it.
I took that extremely personal. and the reason I did was, I have two
children.
You're
related to Eminem.
No, very much so, yes. No, so I have two boys. They're both, they're 9 and 5, and they're both in baseball right now. Oh. So they just finished the season yesterday. Well, they watched the Super Bowl naturally with me. Uh-huh. And they were very influenced by the halftime show. They came away from Super Bowl thinking, oh my God, Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop, even 50, they're like, that's great. That music's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, and I know this all too well, it takes me about 2 to 3 songs to get from my house to the baseball fields.
Okay.
And for the last probably month and a half, the two songs that both of my kids request is Eminem Till I Collapse and what's the other one, the one he sang at the
Mom Spaghetti.
Yes. God, I went blank. But those are the two songs that have to be played from my house to the Little League field. So for you to say you can't bump that in your car, I was like, oh my God, Carolina is attacking me personally and my entire family. My Spurs fandom was not attacked when you wore a Hakeem Olajuwon jersey, but my family was attacked with your Eminem take.
You know, when I say these things on the air, I don't mean to gut punch people, you know, personally. Mm-hmm. I just say what's on my mind. And, you know, as I'm going along, this is all a learning process. I've learned that I traumatize people by my words. So, you know, I didn't think that people did this. I never thought that people actually sat in their car and listened to Eminem Going Anywhere. So, you know, I think the term of the day is the butthead word, right?
And we were using butthead in a positive manner, but you're about to use it.
We're using it, period.
That'll be the name of this episode, butthead.
I didn't think, please don't, but I think that, I think that I don't consider other people's feelings sometimes. I was a total butthead because I would have never thought in a million years somebody did that. So,
but
knowing that your kids do it, you know, and you know what? I will say this. When I watched the Super Bowl, the Mom Spaghetti song, I don't know what it's called. I call it the Mom Spaghetti song. That song went hard. That was the perfect Super Bowl song.
It was perfect.
It literally, I remember being in the living room when it was playing during the Super Bowl, and I was hyped. I was like, yo, this is the song you want to play in the locker room before you go back on the field if you want to win a Super Bowl, because this is your moment. You get one shot. It's yes. Like the lyrics made sense.
Lose Yourself. It's called Lose Yourself. I don't know why.
Lose Yourself. There you go. So I get it. Now I get it. May have spoken prematurely when I was on the air with Jimenez. All I could think of was cleaning out my closet, Stan, all that depressing stuff.
See,
but you know, people love to educate me every day. And whether they educate me in a positive way or whether they educate me in a negative way, you learn something new every day, and that's what I will take away from that. So yeah, I mean, it's all a learning experience.
And that's a good segue into your next controversy, which this one is near and dear to my heart. This one's near and dear to my heart for a different reason. You tweeted out about a fight coming up this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And even though you're tweeting positively about a fight, mm-hmm. and it's not even a super mainstream fight. I mean, it's mainstream to a degree. We could discuss that in a minute. But even when you did that, you were attacked for not being more obscure with your boxing tweets. And I'll let you explain it, but I thought it was weird.
Well, I will say this. I don't think you guys realize how often I get attacked. For the past month, I think out of three of those weeks, I was getting attacked from morning, noon to night. I'd wake up and I was getting attacked again, whether it was in my DM or whether it was publicly. You know, there's only so many people always tell me don't respond, blah, blah, blah. But I respond to just one, and I just respond to everything. That is not true. I don't respond to everything.
Yeah.
You can be attacked over and over again, and then at some point you have to defend yourself, right? Or at least double down on your opinion.
Exactly.
And
no, I agree.
I will say this. When I doubled down on the Eminem thing, I took a shot of 1800 right before. And so I was like, you know what? Eminem is trash. And it's because I took a shot of 1800, and I hadn't taken shots in like months. So somebody gave me a shot of 1800. I was with my photographer. He was editing my photos, gave me a shot of 1800, and I felt like doubling down on my take. I woke up the next day and I was like, wait a minute. He's one of the best lyricists of all time. Maybe I went too far, right? But so that's why I was like, he is one of the best lyricists, but I won't listen to him in my car. And I will say that. But your kids, I'm sure your kids, I hope your kids win the whole damn season. You know what I mean? And butt Eminem the whole time. So, like I was saying, back to the boxing thing, there's certain things that I do not play with, right? Like, I like to play around with the Eminem thing. I can even take the criticism with the Rock and stuff. People can, I got called every name in the book. You know, I was Oh my God, you have no idea from head to toe, right? But one thing that I don't play with is my work ethic, and I don't play with people trying to question my love for San Antonio sports and San Antonio local boxing, to be exact. I have put in a lot of money, of my own personal money. I put in a lot of my personal time, and I put in a lot of my personal resource. I've taken a lot of time away from my family just to put in the work to cover boxing. So for people to insinuate that I don't show love to San Antonio boxing when I'm going to a boxing fight this weekend, when I could be at a beach with my family, I really take that personally. So I had to say something and stand up for myself, because the thing about it is, number one, don't call me a casual boxing fan. I'm not a casual boxing fan. I've been covering boxing for a really long time, and the reason why I won the Rock the Mic competition is because I was talking about boxing. Then
Exactly.
I interviewed so many boxing people throughout the years. I'm one of the first people who interviewed Joshua Franco. I'm one of the first people that interviewed Mario Barrios before they became champions, because I did the homework myself to find out if they were going to be champions or not. And then they ended up becoming champions, and then I interviewed them as champions. On top of the fact that I've been to boxing gyms watching people practice, on top of the fact that I've been to dojos in San Antonio looking at local wrestlers before they went to the WWE. So when it comes to mixed martial arts and me putting in the work to interview boxers, to build relationships with boxers in the city, to help out promoters promote their boxing events, I put in that work. And even when it comes to 2-0 Bam, who was the subject of that tweet, saying I don't support him, when I talk to him pretty much before every fight and ask him how he's feeling, and I have a relationship with him, to insinuate that I don't support people in San Antonio, especially when it comes to local boxing, is something that I will not play around with, and I will stand up for myself every single time.
And I find it weird. So, full disclosure, I used to write for a boxing website. And I'm a big boxing fan. And I understand the gatekeeping that is involved with boxing fandom.
Oh my gosh, they
But
are
I,
like crazy.
yes. But I also understand that boxing is very much right now a, I guess I'd call it a niche sport. So, and what I mean is, not every
It's not the most
fight.
popular, it's not the most popular sport.
Yeah, because I mean, and truth be told, because it's a big minority sport. You know, us minorities, we love it, but it's not at the level of other sports. So I don't understand if anybody's talking about a fight, why that should be negative. You know what I mean? Even if, and you're talking about a Tank versus Raleigh fight, which Tank has become. I think he's on the cusp of being a household name because I've had casual friends ask me about that fight as well. But to insinuate that it's a mainstream fight and if you're tweeting about it, you're only tweeting about mainstream fights, I think that's a little off base. And even if you were just casual, you're a big member of the San Antonio media, it's a positive thing. Like if Mike Jimenez, we keep talking about our buddy Mike. If he tweeted about it, I would see that as a positive. Like, hey, boxing is being noticed this week.
I can talk about whatever the hell I want. I can
Yeah.
talk about stuff in Canada. I can talk about stuff across the globe, and I can talk about stuff locally. He made it seem like the fight was, I don't want to spend too much time on him personally, but I like the fact that you brought up people are, when it comes to
Gatekeepers.
boxing, they're boxy, they're very boxy elitist. I was talking to
Yes.
Billy Madison's co-host Derek. We did a podcast together. Me and him are big into boxing, and we talked about boxing elitists and how they drive us crazy because they don't see the big picture. Everybody always complains. Nobody supports boxing. Nobody watches boxing. But when you have big fights like the Jake Paul fight, where people don't like Jake Paul, and you have people wanting to tune in to watch boxing, to watch Jake Paul, that can introduce a little kid to the sport of boxing, and they might become interested in the sport of boxing because of these exhibition fights, because of these high scale, low skilled fights. So I think it's unfair for people to judge people because they like mainstream fights. I know everything about the Rolly and Tank fight that's going to go on. I've been obsessed with this fight for over a year. I was backstage when Rolly was trash talking Gervonta before the cameras even started rolling, he had everybody laughing in the background, and he was talking about how he was gonna fight Gervonta, and he was going off on him. I was backstage. That's why I'm interested in this fight. I'm not interested in this fight because I'm a casual boxing fan. I'm interested in the damn fight because I was there when he was calling him out. That's why I'm interested. And I'm also interested because Rolly runs his mouth too much, and I think Tank is going to beat the crap out of him. He's going to beat the crap out of Rolly. And I'm excited to see that happen.
I like that you're calling your shot. All right, okay. And to my point, we don't need to gatekeep.
You would think if anybody would gatekeep, it would be me. Like, I would be the snob. Backstage when he said that stuff, who the hell are you to call? No, I'm not like that. I just want to watch the game or the fight or whatever. And I'm not a gatekeeper. Media people shouldn't be gatekeepers. Casual fans should be gatekeepers. Like, I hate gatekeeping. We can do what we want to do, and you should be happy that people are interested in your little arena that you're so protective of. Like Spurs gatekeeping. I don't like Spurs gatekeepers. Where did you come from? Well, let them come from out of nowhere. Let them become fans. That's how I see it.
Okay. I will say this. I do tend to call out the trolls that are obviously not Spurs fans. Mm-hmm. I think I've been accused of gatekeeping, but that's more because... But only because I've seen it, like there's a certain troll that he has all the signs of not being a fan. He'll argue to the death that Kobe was better than Timmy. He'll argue to the death that Spurs culture is lame. And he hates DeJounte Murray. I'm like, dude, you're not a Spurs fan. Like if it was one of the three, I could see your point. But yeah, that's all the makings of a Rockets fan or a non-Spurs fan. That's my
point. Some people are always going to be Mr. Opposite Opinion, no matter what you say.
Yeah, right? That's true too.
Like saying
Eminem is trash.
I mean,
I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing.
Look, he's not my go-to. Okay.
I know.
He's not my go-to. Shout out to your kids. I really hope they, like I said, what are they in baseball right now? I hope they make it to the top. You know, that's awesome that they're in baseball and they're listening to they're listening to Eminem. Whatever motivates your kids to play their best game, play that. And if it's Eminem, so be it. For me, that's not what motivates me. He's not what motivates me, but I understand why he motivates everybody else. Everybody really schooled me on Eminem. I learned so much about Eminem. People sent me his catalog. Like, I've learned so much about Eminem, like, in the past few days.
And I will say this. My son will watch boxing with me, and he enjoys it. But he's also, you know, he also likes Jake Paul. So it does interest him. To your point, he did ask me, when is Jake Paul fight again? And I wanted to be, you know, a boxing snob, but I didn't.
February.
Yes, but I didn't. I said, I don't know, but I will, you know, we will watch it if you want to. So I did check I don't want to be a boxing snob because whether my friends are asking me only about the Canelo fight or if they're asking me about Tank or anything, that's positive. It's a positive thing.
It is, because I have a ton of girlfriends, and I get tired of talking to men all the time. No offense. But I get tired of talking to men about sports all the time, because honestly, like, when it comes to boxing and things like that, you guys tend, and sports, I'm not going to offend women or whatever, because a lot of women are into football more than ever now. But yeah. Normally people who talk to, I'll say it this way. Normally people who talk to me about sports, it's always men. But when my girlfriends approach me, talking to me about the Canelo fight and ask me questions, I am so happy to educate them and talk to them about it, because they're learning. Just like me, you know, about Eminem, I'm learning. Just like me wearing a Rockets jersey, I'm learning. So rather than tear down somebody who's trying to learn, educate them and uplift them.
That's a really good point. That's a very positive point.
It is. And, you know, people surround this negativity around me like I'm a negative person, but I'm actually really quite positive. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I think I am.
No, you are. And to go into what you, we've been talking about Michael Jimenez, who he's the host of Halftime on San Antonio Sports Star. He tends to lean on the negative side. Is that why do you think you guys have such a good rapport? It's kind of the yin and yang of each other.
I love it. I live for it because everybody always says to me, Michael is being fake. This is not who Michael is, right? No, this is who Michael is.
It is.
This is Michael. This is Michael. And it works for radio, okay? Who Michael is works for radio. And we tend to disagree on a lot, like what Eminem, like things that you would never think of, right? And we're not disagreeing on purpose. Like, we don't come into the studio, what are we going to disagree on today? No, like, we literally talk about, like, tacos and Starbucks, and then we're like, all right, let's do this. And so, like, that is who Michael really is, and he's his true, authentic self.
Yes.
And I am my true, authentic self. But what I love about Michael is that he is not afraid to be criticized, and he's not afraid to say how he really feels. And I hold Michael accountable all the time, and he holds me accountable just as much. And I love the fact that he is not afraid to hold me accountable and vice versa. I love the dynamic that we have.
And to your point, I am friends with him. So we speak at least once a week on the phone. And it's funny you say that, because I don't want to argue with him, because he even tells me, dude, you're always killing me on Twitter. I'm like, it's because I don't like what you're tweeting. Or I thought for sure, before I met him personally, I thought maybe he was playing a little to the radio. But it's not. We'll have breakfast together, and he sounds exactly the same. He's talking about the exact same thing. He's got the same opinion. His reviews of movies, that's how he feels. That's why there's been a few movies that are near and dear to my heart that I begged him, please don't cover those, because I do not want you to trash those.
Well, that's the thing too, like, about the movies. Like, I don't watch movies, so I've told him multiple times, like, I trust his opinion. Like, there's people out there who really don't watch movies like me, because I watch sports, okay?
Yeah.
I don't watch movies. So, no, I'm just kidding. I don't, or I listen to music, right?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes to movies, I drop the ball. Something's okay. Got to give in life when it comes to entertainment. For me, it's movies. For Michael to give these reviews, I trust his opinion. So when he's giving something an F, I really think it's an F.
Oh, don't do that. No, don't do that.
Okay, so you know that it's not really an F. He's just, like, not really that good at them. Because I don't know. I've never seen the movie. So I'm thinking, okay, if he gives it an F, it's an F.
No, he's watching nothing but classics. So any F he gives, I think most of Twitter and his fan base don't agree with him. So I wouldn't go by him as far as his grades. I would watch it myself if I were you.
That's a great idea. You know, do your own homework, right? You make your own decision. Yeah, instead of just being lazy and trusting Michael's opinion.
What you should do is find out what he's watching, and then you watch it, and then surprise him. I think he does it on Wednesdays, right? His movie reviews.
He told me to do that. But
you should sneak attack him, like text Pledge and say, hey, put me on without him knowing, and then you just come at him with your review.
Oh, you know, I would have to see, because, you know, I don't want him to be, you know, I keep him on his toes all the time, and I don't want him to keep him on his toes all week. Then he's going to. Yeah. I'm gonna start rubbing him the wrong way.
So tell everybody when you're on air with him so they can listen to you, keep him in check.
I'm on Tuesdays with T. Tuesdays is every Tuesday. It's supposed to be every Tuesday from 12 to 2. I'm coming back on this Tuesday, but next, the Tuesday after that, I'm actually not gonna be on because I start a new job. So lucky me, yay, start a new job. I'm going through some personal stuff. I told Jimenez that I want to talk about it on air. I might not. I don't know.
Okay.
But I will be missing the Tuesday after. So, but after that, I'm going to be on every Tuesday from 12 to 2 on San Antonio Sports Star, 1250 AM, 103.3 FM.
Nice.
That's San Antonio, Texas.
That's right. And where can they follow you on social media so they can see all your battles?
You guys can follow me on social media at @CarolinaTeague_ on Twitter and on Instagram. You can see my thirst trap pics. You can see my wrestling pics. I also do wrestling ring announcing. If you ever like wrestling or ever want to come out to a wrestling event, go to River City Wrestling. We sell out every single show. So much fun. Such a great production. And our next show is July 3rd. I won't be at that next show, but I will be at the show afterwards. And I am the ring announcer, so come check me out. And also, I write on poundingtherock.com. So you can catch my articles there, too. So there's tons of ways to interact with me.
I wanted to, you know what? I forgot about the wrestling. I wanted to pick your brain.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Did you grow up a wrestling fan?
No, I didn't, which is really pathetic, right?
No.
Really pathetic. No, it is pathetic. And let me tell you why it's pathetic. I regret not watching wrestling because now I've been starting to watch The Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, and I love that.
I love that show. I cannot believe I missed out on such good stuff when I was a kid. Like, knowing that these things happened, I just am so mad at myself that I never watched wrestling back in the day. But I was more of a boxing girl. Like, my dad always watched boxing all the time, right? So, and me being the gatekeeper that I used to be, I was just wanted to watch boxing. I just wanted to watch basketball. And I naturally gravitated towards certain sports, right? But I never watched wrestling growing up. No, I didn't. And I'm really ashamed of myself for not doing that. But I do watch wrestling now.
Okay. What wrestling do you watch? Because there's a lot of gatekeeping in that as well. And who are your current favorites?
So I watch what I can catch. So, like, I tend to watch, like, Monday Night Raw. And my favorite is Sasha Banks. That's my favorite. That's my favorite performer. I love her. Bianca Belair. The women that are dominating WWE, it is not easy for women to make it to the top. And I'm just so proud of them.
Yeah. It's, as someone, I've been a WWE guy since I was probably 5 years old. I was the Hulkamaniac. I went through the whole Attitude Era with Stone Cold. So the fact that not only are women a big part of the card, but main eventing WrestleManias and being the best part of WrestleManias, that's something I would have never imagined. And I think it's great. I think the Bianca Belair character, I love the fact that the whole story arc with her and Becky Lynch, I thought they did a great job of that.
Yeah, and did you see Asuka? I don't know if you saw it recently, but Asuka pinned Becky Lynch. I mean, yeah, and Asuka's going to go up against Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
I would have loved for it to have been Becky Lynch.
Again? Yeah, I could see that. But I also think, again, I think it's healthy that the division has enough stars. You know what I mean? And that's I think that's the biggest part of it is it's a deep roster. So they're not just relying on one or two women to carry it.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point because there's a lot more space for women in wrestling.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a lot more space for women in sports. In every arena, including radio, including reporting, there's tons of room to go around.
I agree completely. And it's been very satisfying to see the WWE make that transition and be maybe the best in any platform. Because again, you know, you mentioned where women are needed and should be exposed in other platforms. But the WWE, you could argue that they're at the forefront because they have
so much talent.
Yeah. They have a women's division on both shows. They, you know, they've had, I think two of the last three WrestleManias have been main evented by women. So
the main event 2 weeks ago was supposed to be Sasha and Naomi, but they dropped out. Like, that's a huge story right now.
So yeah. So I was going to ask you about that. So Sasha and Naomi dropped out. They literally, left the show in the middle of the show. Do you think it's real or is it a work?
That's the hard part that I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. I don't want to say it's a work, but it gives me work vibes. And the reason why is because the WWE has been so public about it and making statements and being dramatic. And then they made that. Then when the ring announcer or the commentary team. But then the reason why I don't think it is because did you see Pat McAfee and how uncomfortable he looked when the commentary team said they were indefinitely suspended? It should have been Vince McMahon who said that. So a part of me thinks it's a work. A part of me thinks it's not a work. I don't know what to believe. But
I think I talked to
Brandon from River City Wrestling, the owner. Uh-huh. He said it's not a work.
Really?
Yeah, he said it's not a work, that this is a real thing. He can tell. Because this has happened multiple times in wrestling. He would be great to talk to about this. There's been this has happened multiple times in wrestling, and they wouldn't have, like, the way they went about it shows that it wasn't a work, I guess. But he kind of did a really great breakdown about how they should have came to terms. They should have did the fight still or the match.
Yeah.
And then after the match said they had issues, but they literally backed out that same day.
I guess the only reason I thought it was a work, and for those that don't know, work means, I guess you would say, scripted. The only thing that makes me think it's a work is that they're so open about it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. That's what I think too.
That's the only thing. Yeah. But I'm excited to see you in River City Wrestling. I just went on the website. They're having Ron Simmons do a meet and greet at the show you were just talking about in July. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, they bring everybody out. They are literally the best.
So before I let you go on this subject, would you ever take a bump if they asked you to?
A bump of what?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what they call getting involved in the action.
Oh, I thought you meant like a bump. Like,
oh, no. Whoa. This is a family show. This is a family show. So would you ever?
Wait, are you offering me dress right
now? No, not at all.
Did you say that we were not recording no more? Like, what's going on?
I got a little too nerdy with the wrestling. So
okay, so bump means like instead of being a ring announcer, being like a manager or something like that.
Or not even doing that. Like, let's say you're the ring announcer. Mm-hmm. But let's say they come to you and say, hey, we want to do a storyline where so-and-so mm-hmm. wrestler attacks you.
Uh-huh.
Would you be open to that?
I've definitely been had that idea pitched to me because
they think
that I am elite with the trash talk. Brandon.
Nice.
But I'm scared. So I told Brandon no.
Okay.
I'm gonna be honest. I told Boom Boom no. I was like, no, I'm not ready for that. I honestly don't think I'm ready. I love ring announcing. I love like the look and I really want to get my look down before I even consider that, but I've definitely had that idea pitched to me. Actually, it's crazy you asked me. It's actually been pretty recently, and people have been telling me, do it, be a part of the show, and do all that stuff. I've never seen that for myself, but people see it for me, so I just kind of have this battle in my mind, like, can I do it? Can I not do it? Am I ready? So I have all those things in my mind, and I don't know what to do. What would you do if you were me?
I think it could be really cool. I think it'd be cool because, one, it would be unexpected. Because as of right now, you're the ring announcer. You're a big part of San Antonio sports media. You're on the radio. You're there to be a promoter for the show and be just a ring announcer. So if you were to take a bump, you know, take a hit, I think it would shock people. I really do. And you have such a big social media presence that it would blow up quick. I think the storyline, mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun. I'm going to look to do it.
Everybody's telling me to do it, but I don't think you understand, like, me as a woman, like, through all the criticism I face and stuff like that, like my body, like I just, I'm like, I need my body to be perfect. Like I'm just very hard. I'm my hardest critic. You know, everybody criticizes me, but I am my hardest critic. So in order for me to take that step, I know this sounds really crazy, but I would want to be in like superior shape for that. And I'm not right now. So I feel like I need to, and when I say superior shape, I want to be mentally in a good space.
Yeah.
And physically in a good space as well. I know that sounds like crazy talk, but that's how I feel. Like if I can do that, then I can do anything. And I feel like I would take that bump, and not the bump we thought in the beginning. Because I'm from the hood, you know, that's the first thing that comes up.
No, I
now, and now I've never done stuff like that, but I'm just saying, I know that that's the lingo that I gravitate towards first. But if I were to do that, I would want to be like in great shape and just make sure that I be confident that I can kill it, because the girls on stage are so confident. Like I would have to match their confidence. I can't explain it.
I'm going to look up an old, there's got to be some sort of precedence where a ring announcer took a bump. I want to try to find a good one and send it to you, because I want to convince you to do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Everybody's trying to convince me. It's just really scary, to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And I'm talking like it's the easiest thing. It's not. And I would even suggest you go through a lot of training just to take, even if it's just one punch or one, whatever they suggest to you, I would make sure that the person that's going to administer the hit, would you trust that person?
When Boom Boom presented me with the idea of possibly like moving up and taking that, I cried. I cried because I wasn't ready, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know. So like, you just don't understand my life. Like,
it's I get it. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It would definitely be fun, but I feel like I don't see, like, I guess maybe like people see me as like somebody who's like in the public and the public eye, but I feel like I'm just like, at the end of the day, just like a little girl living out my dreams. So I have to like really step into that level before I do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Keep me posted on River City Wrestling, because I think that's cool. And I want to be there. You might have to, if that ever is going to happen, I have to make sure I'm there so I could.
Well, I can't tell anybody.
That's true. That's true. You know what? You're right. Tell people, you're right.
Yeah, you have to come out to the shows.
Exactly.
To see everything unfold. And honestly, if you don't go to shows, like, you're missing out on a big treat. They're always so much fun.
All right.
And the tickets are hella cheap, like $10 or some stuff. I'm super cheap.
So make sure you go out to the River City Wrestling, because you never know
what you're going to get.
It's going to be a great show regardless, but you never know when Carolina makes the leap and possibly does something action-wise.
Definitely.
All right, before we go, we always end an episode talking about promoting and reviewing a local restaurant or beer or anything local. So I did ask you a couple days ago, I want you to tell me your favorite local restaurant in town.
You know, that's like asking me to pick out who's my favorite child.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so.
Give me one. You don't have to call it your all-time favorite, but give me something that you want the people to try.
Okay, lately I've been on Thousand Oaks Cafe.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. We've never reviewed that, so here's your shot.
It's a hole in the wall. So if you want vibe and you want ambiance, you're not going to get that. But if you want your food to come out fast and you want it to come out good every single time, definitely go to Thousand Oaks Cafe. And it's super affordable. Now, that's my favorite hole in the wall. If I'm going vibey, I definitely like Hugman's Oasis. I just went there recently. It's really cute.
Okay. Now, at Thousand Oaks Cafe, what do you get?
I get the menudo. I don't eat the meat. I eat the hominy, the dots or whatever. So I get the menudo with extra dots on the side, or ask them to put extra dots. with serrano onion, limon, and cebolla. Oh, wait, no, cilantro. And I also either get on the side a barbacoa taco on corn, or I get a bean and cheese, either or.
Okay. That sounds really good. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad it's a place we haven't reviewed yet. So it's a new spot for our listeners. Mm-hmm. Now I'm curious. I think I'm going to make the drive. There's three locations. So I'm definitely going to try that. I'm going to take your advice and try it.
Yeah, my husband, when we first started going there, and I was like, babe, meet me at Thousand Oaks Cafe. And he was like, well, where's it at? And I was like, it's on Thousand Oaks. So it's on Thousand Oaks, if anybody knows.
Thanks for clearing that up for your husband and for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you again for coming on. I know you're a very busy woman with so many things going on, and I really appreciate it. This is a long time coming, and I hope we do it again sometime.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. And again, follow Carolina, support her and everything she does. She's amazing at what she does. She's just as genuine and nice off air as she is on. I can speak to that. But again, follow her. And every, I mean, God, you're all over the place. Houston, wrestling, San Antonio sports star. It's been fun seeing you.
I'm a sports prostitute. That's me.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't mean, yeah, not, oh, my bad. Yeah.
No.
I'm a sports prostitute, but not like a sexual way, but like, so you can understand that I cover everything. Whatever you want me to cover, I'll cover it.
Nice. Well, we appreciate it. Again, thank you for coming on. And go Spurs, go.